This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you're listening to podcast number 32 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they just don't seem to listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP or platelet-rich plasma therapy, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
Hello, hello. This is the super tall Marshall Morris, and today I am joined by none other than the Dr. Chad Edwards, who believes that 80% of medical recommendations are crap, technically speaking here. He is the author of the book, Revolutionize Your Health with Customized Supplements, and he served in the U.S. Army for 23 years as both an enlisted soldier and as an officer, as a physician. He graduated from medical school at Oklahoma State University, and he is the founder of RevolutionHealth.org and Against the Grain podcast. Dr. Edwards, thank you for joining us today. I'm pumped to be getting into this topic. I really am.
Well, that's awesome, because, you know, when you hear the title, you're like, how in the world can you be excited about this? That's kind of like, you know, being excited about rebar and concrete or something. I don't know.
Well, let's get into it. I'm very pumped to bring you today's hot topic. Hot topic.
You know, I guess I don't want to turn anybody's brain off, because today we're talking about endothelial function. Now, that sounds boring as, you know, watching paint dry or something, but there is so much information coming out about endothelial function and its impact on your health. I mean, there's a lot of studies and a lot of different ways, and this, I mean, it is really pretty darn important stuff.
Okay, so you tell me it's pretty important stuff, but I couldn't tell you where on my body endothelial function happens. So begin breaking it down for me.
Yeah, you're a tall dude.
Yeah.
So it's from head to toe. It's from all over your body. So basically, endothelial function is a balance between the vasoconstricting and the vasodilating substances that the lining of your arteries produces, and that lining of the artery is called the endothelium. So the endothelium, you know, we used to think about this thing as it's a one cell layer thick lining of your arteries. And we used to think that it was just that. It's just like a coating. But we've found that there is so much more to it. And it is a very active substance. Some people would argue that it's an organ system in and of itself, because it is so important. And, you know, we can actually measure it, at least, you know, kind of a surrogate measure for it. And, you know, today we're going to talk about what it does, how it's linked to some medical problems, and what you can do to optimize your endothelial function, which we suspect is going to reduce your risk of some of these other things.
Okay, so what are some of the things that it's related to in terms of maybe some disease or dysfunction? Or what are the things that it contributes to that maybe are prevalent on a day-to-day basis for people? Or what's common? How's it commonly addressed? Or when does it come up in these discussions with your physician?
Yeah, so I would argue that most physicians, even if they understand endothelial function, they don't well understand. Now, maybe some cardiologists, probably where most of this information would come from. I don't know that your average family doc, and I don't mean to insult their intelligence, but it's just not something that we deal with on a daily basis. We actually do. We just don't recognize that that's what we're dealing with. So some things that the endothelial function can have an impact with would be things like anything circulatory. So high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, peripheral vascular disease, heart attacks, strokes, those kinds of things. There's some things, Raynaud's phenomena. It's a vasoconstriction. You know, your hands get really cold and turn, you know, blue and white and red and those kinds of things. platelet function atherosclerosis, where the plaque is growing in the arteries. You know, a big one for some guys, erectile dysfunction, and we had a podcast about that, you know, a couple episodes ago. So there are a lot of things, you know, some kidney function and flow and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's anything dealing with blood circulation, the endothelial function can have an impact on that function.
Sure. Okay. So I'm kind of like a third grader here, so you're going to have to help me along. Does what I eat grow my endothelial or my endothelium, or do I just naturally have it, or what contributes to the overall health of it?
Yeah, so let's think about this endothelial function. Let's first think about the endothelium, and then let's think about the endothelial function.
Okay.
So when you go to sleep at night and you're laying down and you're asleep, Marshall still exists.
Okay.
But you're not doing anything but sleeping.
Okay.
You're not up moving. You're not being productive. Other than, I mean, I would argue sleep is productive, but you're not otherwise doing anything. You don't, you know, you're not producing podcasts, and you know, none of that stuff is happening in your sleep. You are just a lump on a log, same as you would be in a coma. Mm-hmm. So that's Marshall. That's endothelium. It's just the presence or absence of that. The endothelium is there. And it's just that one cell layer thick lining of the arteries. It's just there. But when you think about arteries, and it, you know, if you're listening and you want to know more about erectile dysfunction, then you can go back and listen to the erectile dysfunction discussion, where we talk about the arteries expanding and contracting, allowing a change of blood flow into the penis, allowing for that erection to occur. It's that function that we're talking about. So when we talk about high blood pressure, that's, you know, the artery is not relaxing enough to allow the volume of blood going through there. When you talk about cardiovascular disease, you have the adhesion of certain molecules to that endothelium. When you have a blood clot, you have a clot inside whether it's the venous system, the arterial system. When you have a blood clot, that is the platelets sticking to the endothelium and stimulating that whole coagulation cascade. All of those things have to do with endothelial function. The endothelium is there, just like you're there when you're asleep. But when you're asleep, you're not doing anything. The endothelium, if we're not worried about its function, it's just there. But you have to be productive. You have to do things. You have to get some things done. You have certain jobs that you have to do. The endothelium also has certain jobs that it has to do. Its ability to do that job, you know, if you came to work and you didn't do anything you know, drink coffee all day and just take up space and steal our oxygen.
Oftentimes that is all I do.
Right. Just, yeah, I know better than that. Yeah. But you have certain jobs that you have to do. And if you didn't do those jobs, you'd get fired. Now, you can't fire your endothelium. It's just that certain things won't happen, or they'll happen poorly. So there are consequences to that. So the endothelial function affects how platelets interact with it, how they expand and contract, multiple of these different things, and making sure that endothelium is able to function and function well has an impact on how likely you are to get blood clots, cardiovascular disease, erectile dysfunction, you know, all of these different things. So we want to make sure that you've got really good endothelial function.
Okay, so what are some of the things that contribute to maybe it not operating at its tip-top shape? Or what are some of the things that maybe could cause the root of some of these bigger problems, you know, the endothelium not performing as well?
Yeah, so the cheating answer is poor health.
Oh, okay.
And that's an easy way to say poor health. One of the things that we focus on at revolutionhealth.org is optimizing health across the board. Generally, we use that three-tiered approach: exercise, nutrition, the three R's, reducing stress, recovering from exercise, and rest, sleep. So optimizing those three things plays a role, and we'll talk a little bit more about how nutrition plays a role with this. We'll talk a little bit more about a couple of those kinds of things. But we know that nitric oxide specifically has a big role on the endothelial function. And a really good way to drive this point home You know, I work in the emergency room somewhat frequently. I love being in the emergency room. And when a patient comes in and they're having chest pain, and I get an EKG and I'm getting labs, and I look at that EKG based on their symptoms, their risk for having a heart attack, their all of those things, then we'll often give nitroglycerin. You know, that's the spray or the tablet under the tongue. Sometimes we'll use a paste. Sometimes I'll use it in an IV. But nitroglycerin we use for chest pain because we know that it allows these blood vessels to open up and to dilate, and it reduces some congestion, increases circulation. With, but that nitroglycerin, it works through nitric oxide. So it enhances nitric oxide, and that nitric oxide allows that endothelial function to kick in and allows everything to relax and open up. So we can also use nitroglycerin to lower blood pressure because it allows the arteries to dilate. So nitric oxide is very, very important in endothelial function. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, about what you can do to optimize your endothelial function. But in my clinic, one of the things that I check routinely is MTHFR. And I don't think we've done a podcast on that yet. We will be doing it's methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase. Say that three times fast.
Wow.
But MTHFR and homocysteine. So the reason that I bring those two up is both of them have to do with this process called methylation. But homocysteine itself, it should, through biochemical mechanisms and the MTHFR gene, should get methylated to L-methionine, two different amino acids. So when you can't methylate, homocysteine levels rise. Now, that has a two-pronged effect. One of them is that you're not methylating well, which has a whole different set of consequences that we'll talk about in that podcast. But homocysteine, we know, robs the body of nitric oxide. So when I get someone's labs and I see their homocysteine levels are high, and homocysteine levels have high homocysteine levels have an independent association with cardiovascular disease. When you have high homocysteine, you are at higher risk for cardiovascular disease, independent of smoking status, LDL cholesterol levels, and all the other supposed risks for cardiovascular disease. High homocysteine levels are a risk, and they're a risk for cardiovascular disease because homocysteine robs nitric oxide, so you don't have enough nitric oxide to allow the endothelial lining to function normally. So of course it's going to disrupt the endothelial function and precipitate all the other problems that can come along with endothelial function. And there are things that we can do for that. There's a whole lot of things that we can do. So multiple different things that impact endothelial function. And we know that trans fats, so, you know, making sure that you get good healthy fats, you know, partially hydrogenated fats dramatically increase in increased intake of trans fats. And we know that trans fats are associated with a number of health disorders, and strongly, strongly, strongly recommend that you completely eliminate trans fats from your diet. They're not found in nature except for, to my knowledge, the only one is CLA or conjugated linoleic acid, linoleic, one of the two, CLA. It is found in nature. So the homocysteine levels, the trans fats, I mean, all of those things can impact endothelial function.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, okay, I want to get into a little bit of more of the specifics of the things that you can do that contribute to more optimal endothelial function.
You betcha. Vertical Limit Fitness constantly strives for better. Better mind, function, fitness, capacity, and community. They accomplish this through bodyweight boot camp style classes and high intensity functional fitness classes. From group classes to private training, Vertical Limit Fitness elevates your health and wellness while helping you become able to do anything and prepare you for everything that life may bring along. Call 918-409-1633 or visit their website at www.verticallimitfitness.com for more information and to sign up for a week of classes.
And we are back. We're here with Dr. Chad Edwards talking about endothelial function here. And how do I know whether or not I have good or bad endothelial function? I mean, I can't see it. I don't know. Right. So how would I know whether it's performing well? Maybe I have one of these larger issues
sure.
Going on, but But how do I test for that?
Yeah, so some of the things that you can consider is what we've already talked about the homocysteine levels and the MTHFR and vitamin B levels and some of those things. They don't tell me how your endothelial function looks, but they do suggest some risk. So that's one thing that we can do that's really easy. It's on a blood test, and I routinely do that on my patients. The gold standard test for endothelial function is angiography, so putting a needle in the artery and looking at the blood flow through that with an acetylcholine injection. So acetylcholine is a medication that changes the vasoconstriction and dilation of the arteries. This is an invasive test. You got to get a needle stuck in the artery and they're injecting stuff and usually dye and watching how the blood flow works, and they're giving you acetylcholine and all these kinds of things. So not really practical most of the time, and certainly much more expensive and those kinds of things. So what most people have done, and this has actually been fairly well studied and validated fairly well, is flow-mediated dilation. And which ultimately what they're measuring is reactive hyperemia. Usually the classic one is they put a blood pressure cuff on or some kind of vasoconstrictive device, and then they'll use an ultrasound and watch. It's either Doppler or ultrasound measuring I think it's Doppler, but they'll measure the blood flow. And with that reactive hyperemia, after a period of, a few minutes where there's no blood flow through there, then you get this increase in blood flow following that ischemic time, so to speak, where there's not blood flow. So you have blood flow constricted off. The response should be this rush of blood after that. So that's kind of what they're measuring. And there is a test called an endopat, which is, basically it's a little thing that you put on your finger, and they put a blood pressure cuff, and they're measuring pulse oximetry, and they're looking at certain waves and those kinds of things. It's a great test. They're actually, my understanding is they're using it in Framingham 3, which is the longest running cardiovascular disease risk Framingham study, and the third iteration of that's Framingham 3. My understanding is that they're using that in the endopat in that test, looking at cardiovascular disease and things. So obviously there's a lot more information about endothelial function, endopat, all of those kinds of things. So those are some of the tests specifically that we can do. And of course, the endopat is a non-invasive test. It can be done at the bedside. You're looking at a couple $100 if insurance doesn't cover it. But insurance, there is a procedure code, and insurance can cover it, for many patients.
Okay, so that gets into the testing a little bit.
Yep.
You identify that maybe my endothelium isn't performing as well as possible.
Right.
What do I do?
Yeah. So there's several things that you can do. The very first thing that I would say is exercise. Again, it goes back to that healthy trinity that we talked about. Number one, exercise. Number two, if you smoke, stop smoking. That definitely inhibits endothelial function. Number three, weight loss. So, goes back into obesity. So many problems associated with obesity. We optimize our lean muscle mass, reduce excess body fat, improves endothelial function. Number four is the optimizing nutrition, improving your diet. So again, got that healthy trinity component again. Number five, using an ACE inhibitor. It's a certain medication that you use for hypertension, and we can use it for some kidney stuff, but it has been shown to increase endothelial function as well. Number six, not a big fan of these medications, but statins have been shown to increase endothelial function a little bit. The interesting component with that is I don't believe it has to do with cholesterol. I think it has to do with anti-inflammatory effects of statins, and there is without question benefit in that regard. So the statins can be anti-inflammatory. Number seven, avoid trans fats. Kind of goes back to that improving the diet thing, but specifically because studies are showing an association between poor endothelial function and the trans fats. Number eight, arginine. This is you can take this as a supplement. It's an amino acid. The one that I recommend is NOMAX, which has arginine ketoglutarate, or L-arginine is a more common one. But arginine helps to enhance nitric oxide, and L-citrulline helps to kind of maintain that nitric oxide. And the last thing is measure your homocysteine levels, and if your homocysteine's messed up, fix it.
Okay. So you listed these nine different things here.
Yeah.
do I need to wait till I have a problem to begin managing some of these things right now, or some of these things that I can do proactively?
Absolutely, be proactive about it. Do not wait. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Don't wait until you have a problem. It's much harder to put the cat in the box than it is to keep the cat from getting out of the box to begin with. So optimizing health across the board, you know, there's so many problems that we see that when you optimize that healthy trinity, exercise, nutrition, the three R's, that we see these problems get better. And it's because of the effect on all of these little things, the endothelial function and weight and blood pressure and all that stuff. So yes, get started today.
Okay, so if you or if any of the listeners or people out there want to learn more about this type of stuff, what are some of the places that they can go?
Certainly, you can start at revolutionhealth.org. Got a search bar up there. You can search for homocysteine, MTHFR, endothelial function, nitric oxide, NOMAX, those kinds of things, and just. You can certainly start Googling around, looking at, you can look at endothelial function. You can search really any of the things that improve endothelial function. You can, you know, PubMed is a great resource for scientific studies. And, you know, there are studies on the trans fats and endothelial function. There's studies on homocysteine. There's studies on nitric oxide. So PubMed is a great resource.
Well, Dr. Edwards, thank you so much for kind of breaking this down for so my third grade mind can understand it a little bit more. Okay. Well,
hopefully I made endothelial function better than watching paint dry.
Pretty exciting stuff here. And I appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Marshall.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.